Welcome to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset with me, Johnny Pardo.
Welcome back to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset podcast with me, Johnny Pardo. Today, I welcome Kasia onto the show where we're going to be talking about confidence and having breakthroughs and much, much more, I'm sure. So just a quick introduction to Kasia, and then we'll dive into the interview today. So after 15 years in corporate and working with some of the biggest world's biggest brands, Kasia left her job at Google to pursue her passion for personal development and coaching. Trained by some of the world's best, such as Tony Robbins, Kasia created and built breakthrough methods in which she uses a mix of methods and modalities to create lasting results and powerful breakthroughs. Known as the Breakthrough Architect, Kasia guides and supports ambitious and driven professionals and business owners into creating more success and freedom in their personal lives and career. So welcome to the show today, Kasia. Glad we could make this happen. So be really interesting, first of all, to know, like, for you, what do you see as like is a breakthrough? How would you define a breakthrough? And was there like a particular one in your life that really sparked your interest and passion into this area?
Yeah, that's such a great question. First of all, thank you so much for having me. It's so great to be here. So yeah, breakthrough, you know, it's such a utilized word nowadays. You know, everyone uses breakthrough this, breakthrough that. But for me, it has a profound meaning because a breakthrough, I believe, it's a different way of thinking, a different way of feeling, a different way of experiencing. And a breakthrough can be anything and everything because we're all so unique and different. So some might have a breakthrough in their habits. Some might have a breakthrough in their belief systems, and others might have a breakthrough in realizing what it is that I realize, that I don't have to have the standard success journey like most. And, you know, all of us, well, most of us went to school, then we got a good job, then you kind of get an apartment, you're supposed to get married, you know, have 2.5 kids and a dog and a picket white fence. And from a very young age, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I felt success is a little bit something different for me. And that evolves as I change my perspectives, as I am exposed to different people and different ways of thought. And for me, success was that. For a very long time, up until my early 30s, you know, I pursued the career path in corporate America. You know, I did the apartment, I did the school thing, I did the whole thing. And I'm just like, hold on, there's more to life than just working, than just climbing the ladder, than promotions. And I felt like there was just more, and more for me meant more travel, more experiences. And having lived in the US, so I was born in Poland, and then I moved to the US when I was a young girl. I felt complete in my job. I was working at this amazing marketing company in the tallest building in the world at that time, the Sears Tower or Willis Tower or whatever it is called now. And I quit on my terms. And I packed up a suitcase, took my bucket list, went to like Cuba and Brazil and Mexico. And then I'm like, you know what? I want to learn French. I'm moving to Paris. And that's when things started shifting. When I changed the culture that I was in, that I was exposed and raised in, the values, the what success looked like there, which is the big houses, having a lot of things, coming to Europe, that perspective started changing. Because success in Europe, for most people, it's quality of life, it's time with the family, it's really spending time, that the free time, doing the things that you love. And work is something that you do to create the life. You don't live to work like many people in the US do. And having done both, having experienced both, for me, a breakthrough is really realizing that it's up to us how we want to design our life. And that's why, you know, the word breakthrough architect, because so many of us, the word freedom and the word success means different things. Just because I did that doesn't mean it's right for someone else. For example, now I'm living in Lisbon, Portugal. That doesn't mean other people want to leave corporate America and run around barefoot, you know, most days on the beach, right? That is not success to them. So a breakthrough is really being exposed to something that is holding you back. And you have this inkling that there's something on the other end, but you don't know quite what it is. And then all of a sudden you have this breakthrough moment, and that you can gain through either coaching, you can gain through either just, you know, walking somewhere. You know, a lot of us have these amazing breakthroughs in the shower or while driving when our mind is relaxed. And it's really about a different way of thinking and being exposed to a different possibility. So that's a long-winded answer, but it's a breakthrough is different for everyone. There's no right or wrong way to have one.
I love that. I love what you also said about people having different like success definitions for themselves, and we can all experience it different. Like you were talking about what you had seen or heard was the version of success was like having the 2.5 kids and the dog and the house and you know, the partner and everything like that, but that didn't necessarily feel right for you. And actually you found kind of what has been successful, what you feel like is success to you, which I love. So like for the individual who's perhaps a little bit stuck on like, what is it I want? What do I want? Like from the people you've worked with, from your own experience, is it like a case that we have to be, that you found people kind of find that when they're in relaxed states, like maybe in the shower or things like that? Or is it kind of just by taking action, trying new things? Or does it really depend?
Well, it really depends. I think a lot of us have breakthroughs, you know, when we don't realize we have breakthroughs. It's just that the breakthroughs that we have without realizing them are usually in the moments of anger, because life is always changing, you know, life is always evolving. And sometimes when we are too long or perhaps too stuck in our comfort zone, life and the scenarios and the circumstances will create these breakthroughs for you. And sometimes that looks like, you know, being fired and realizing, oh, I didn't really love that job anyway. Sometimes a relationship ends and it's like, well, that really wasn't the love of my life. So what I like to do is really have a more pleasant experience of those. And I believe that coaching and really working on yourself and personal development is really having these breakthroughs when things are not crashing and burning down, because, you know, those are still breakthroughs, right? There's just a more pleasant way of having them than really everything crumbling and us, you know, life bringing us to the knees and, you know, as Rocky says, kicking us in the stomach. There's when we're more proactive about seeking out what it is that we want and listening to the whispers before, you know, the brick comes, or rather the truck, as they say, then it's a better experience, better quality experience. And you're able to kind of proactively have these breakthroughs, because now I have them on a daily basis. So it's just really being aware, and it's really being clear on the life around you and being present to it. So clear meaning being present, because life is always teaching us. There's always lessons in everything. And doing what I do, I'm always pulling those lessons. So it's all around us. And yeah, again, everyone is different. So some people, you know, they never need a coach and they're like, wow, that was such a powerful thought I had, and it's a breakthrough. And some people really like to utilize coaching, facilitation, and go to seminars and really have those breakthroughs facilitated for them. And other people, you know, will get that breakthrough when life just kind of crumbles in whichever area of life or business.
Yeah, a right mixture of different ways that we can have our breakthroughs, it sounds like. With that, you kind of mentioned about like the whispers a little bit, like kind of coming in. And in this day and age, right, we've got a lot of distractions, a lot of noise coming at us. Is there anything you found effective that's kind of allowed you to tune into that a little bit more, some of those whispers?
Definitely. So something that people find surprising about me is I do not have a TV. A lot of the times I really don't know what's happening in the world. Sometimes I get it in my social media feed, but I find that really distancing myself from things that kind of program us and that put information into our world without us realizing. So what that looks like: listening to music, listening to TV, listening to the world around you, especially if you're a big city. For me, what helps me the most is really just quieting down, turning off that TV, really being mindful of the music that I listen, because it's all still programming, you know, especially if, you know, you're looking to create this positive life and you're listening to sappy love songs or angry like Metallica, right? So this is all really important. Our environment is so important because it creates us, and a lot of us are created from the outside in, and it's really about creating yourself from the inside out. So to answer your question, I think really finding time, whether it's meditation, walking, showering, but being present, again, being present in the moment, because so many of us is like, oh my God, I got to do this and this and this, and I got to go do this and this and this, and I forgot that. We're really not present to what is. And you might find that once you just kind of quiet down your mind, so write it down, right? Like make a, have some kind of a strategy and a system for capturing all that is in here. So then we quiet the mind and the subconscious, then the intuition starts to speak and really starts to whisper. And that often shows up as like a random thought. We all have it, a random thought. And oftentimes it's, you know, it shows up like something from the past, but once you're aware of it, it will start to show up something that is in the present or to inform you of something. So what that sounds like is usually, you know, that cringe moment, you're just sitting like relaxing and all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, I can't believe I said that to her 10 years ago, kind of a moment, you know, your brain is surfacing something that hasn't been fully processed, but at the same time, the same mechanism that will surface some intuition, some wisdom from within for us to consider. And we kind of really have to just be present to that because it's there. We just don't notice it. You know, our mind takes in like 10 million megabytes of information, like every single second, but we can only process 7 pieces of information. So if you think about it, you know, if we paid attention to all of it, we'd go crazy. So it's really about being present and learning and training yourself to listen to these little whispers.
I didn't know about the 10 megabytes per second kind of like stat. That's it does make sense.
Yeah. And you know what? A lot of us pick the worst, like 7.
Including myself. Yeah. So you reminded me also about music and actually the power of like some of the lyrics that are going in sometimes. Like there's some great songs that actually could be. So I remember going to a seminar or a sort of mini coaching online event, and one of the songs he told us to listen to was "I Love My Life" by Robbie Williams, and I was like, it's a good one. It was like kind of going in, day out, and obviously took the actions listening to it, and that's powerful. But there are also those songs that are like about broken hearts and, you know, not bad singers and stuff like that, but it's all the music, but it's just what's going into your system. I think that's
And it's all programming us, right? Absolutely. It's, you know, we want to find love, but we listen to these sappy love songs, you know, we want to have success. And then we listen to these, oh, my life fell apart, I'm brokenhearted, achy breaky heart, right? So it's really being mindful of that. So a lot of these positive lyrics, they're available out there for us to consume and listen to. And what happens is like some of my favorite songs were these sappy love songs, right? Especially like I'm a salsa dancer. I love a bachata. Like I love a salsa romantica. And once I started paying attention to those lyrics, I'm like, oh my goodness, maybe I should not have learned Spanish. But it's, you know, it's up to us to really be selective of the information we let in, because some things are more obvious than others. You know, we proactively turn on a YouTube, we proactively turn on a podcast, but there's so much in between that is really programming us. And once it's been doing that for a long time, it's more difficult to unlearn that.
Yeah. It's easy to get caught and caught into bad habits as well of maybe listening to things. I've certainly been there personally, I could speak from. I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about like obviously you're a coach and you've been coach, you put a lot into this area, you know, you learn from people like Tony Robbins, of course. For you, just to kind of share, because some people are familiar with coaching, some people aren't, what's the power of coaching being for you versus having a coach versus, you know, not having a coach and trying to figure it out on your own? What have you seen the benefits?
That's such a great question. Yeah. So coaching, it's really, it's having a guide. So a coach is not a therapist. A coach is someone that will ask you questions that are thought provoking and will help you find the answers within. So oftentimes people seek coaches because they're either don't know how to, they don't know what they want. They don't know. They kind of feel stuck. They feel overwhelmed, right? So a lot of there's a slight overlap with therapy there. But I believe that therapy, there's a place and a time for that, and everyone should have a therapist. But coaching, I believe, is what dreams are made of. So it's really getting to know yourself, what's important to you, and focusing on those priorities. And coaching is really about collapsing time. And coaching is really about, again, finding the answers within, because we give so much of our power away looking for answers on the outside, again, through podcasts, through reading books, right? And we all do that, but we don't know how to find those answers within. And coaching with the right questions, with the right method, will allow you to do that. So whether it's a big life change, whether it's a career move, whether it's a relationship, you know, stop, start, or finish, coaching is great for all sorts of challenges in life and our business.
And you mentioned you've learned from like people like Tony Robbins. Have there been any other like big influences in your life that have really helped you sort of move along?
So many, you know, my journey with Tony Robbins, I'll just speak on that briefly. When I moved to Paris, I needed a break from learning French. And I went to the secondhand bookstore next to Notre Dame, and there was one book available. It was like this dude with big teeth. I'm like, who is this? It was this, the only book in English. I remember it like today. It was €5, and I bought it and I started reading it. And, you know, that really started to change my life, because the next thing I know, I was getting recruited by Google, because, again, limiting beliefs, right? And a breakthrough for me right there, because I realized that I thought I wasn't smart enough because I had all these limiting beliefs that to work for Google, I needed to have had a 4.0 GPA, you know, straight A's, however that translates in each country, and having had to gone to like Stanford or Yale, a top tier, you know, school. And that wasn't the case for me. And I went on to have an amazing career. And during that time, I would use all my vacation time pretty much following Tony Robbins all around the world, learning from him and being exposed to all these different people, you know, being exposed to successful professionals that were not just in the corporate world, but, you know, multimillionaires that had their own business, and men and women that were older than me and younger than me. And that really shifted my perspective for what is possible. Because it's one thing, you know, seeing someone on the internet or following some influencer, and it's another thing sitting next to them. It's like, what do you do? And it's like, oh, I have a painting company. And they're this, you know, multimillionaire with all the time, location, freedom in the world, right? So that's all available out there for us. But yeah, I have studied from people that have passed already, from those that are currently here. And there's such a huge list, you know, the likes of Peter Krohn, the likes of, you know, there's a lot of coaches that are available just for female coaches. So my list is endless. And I'm already like, I'm finishing up a year container currently, and I'm already looking for another one to jump into and really making my work available to the public, because up until recently, I was only working on a one-on-one basis, and all my business was coming in through referrals. And when I left Google, in the middle of the pandemic, people are like, how did you do that? I'm like, well, I made a decision. I made a plan, and then I executed. They're like, well, I want that too. I'm like, let's go. So a lot of the clients came to me seeing that I was leading, because coaches are leaders and leaders go first. And then you find that within the congruency that you have and with who it is that you are and who it is that you're being, you attract a lot of the clients that see something within you. And for me, it's a lot of identity work. So a lot of clients come to me for identity work. The biggest invisible force, which makes all the difference, because as Tony Robbins says, we cannot be more successful than how we see ourselves.
I'm glad you touched on identity. I actually saw that in your social media the other day. Could you touch a little bit more on that, on the role of identity? Because I love talking about it and learning about it, and how much of an impact that may be on an individual for what they do day to day.
Yeah, so identity, I believe, is the most powerful invisible force. So we have these invisible forces which limit us, such as beliefs, such as, you know, the culture that we live in or we were raised in. So when it comes to identity, if you think about it, from the age of 0 to 7 years old, we're like a little sponge. Based on the upbringing that we have, based on the culture that we're in, the religion that we were raised in, we're just little sponges. We don't question anything until we develop this, what is called a critical faculty in our brain. And that's why we believe in Santa. I mean, we don't dare question, how does this guy, you know, travel the whole world in one night and brings me all these presents, exactly what I wanted. Right? So because we're kids, right? We don't have that developed yet. And then at some point it's like, wait, where is the tooth fairy? Where is Santa? You kind of start questioning the world. That's not realistic. You learn a thing or two about geography and time and distance, right? And physics. So sorry, can you repeat the question?
No, it's just just curious about like identity and how much of an impact that can be on an individual's like day-to-day actions. Cause one thing I've learned is, you know, sometimes there's this like this element of like willpower, and it's like, you know, like new year, new me kind of thing. We're just coming out of January, for example, and it's like, I'll go into the gym for January versus I am an athlete who trains in the gym, for example.
Yes, thank you for that. So yeah, I completely deviated onto something else. So yeah, when it comes to identity, I think it's so important. And I know it's so important because ultimately it's how we see ourselves, and our identity dictates what we're capable of and what we're not capable of. Because having even that Google example, right? I thought I was not capable of working at Google because I did not see myself as a Googler. I did not see myself as all these super smart kids from all these elite schools because I did not have that experience. But then having worked there, I realized that's not the reality. So our identity is shaped by so many things and all this programming that happens all around us every single day. As I mentioned, even from the TV that we listen to, the Netflix movies that we watch, the music that we listen to. And again, there's nothing wrong with that as long as we're aware of the information that it's imposing in us. Because even, for example, as little girls and little boys, you know, we watched cartoons. What did those teach us? You know, for women, it's, you know, the Disney princesses, it's like, oh, just be pretty and the prince will come and save you, right? So it's all these that really, really add up. So our identity, I believe, is the fundamental topic to work on when it comes to creating change. And it's really about unlearning certain things rather than trying to be someone that you're not, because a lot of us are performing, a lot of us are pretending, a lot of us are not really authentically us. And then we wonder, why don't I feel anything? Why am I not fulfilled by this job? Why am I not fulfilled by this relationship? Or, you know, you start a new relationship and like on the 3 month mark, it just ends because the oxytocin wears off, right? So when you're authentically you and you can express yourself authentically, it's a whole other experience. But to do that, you need to know who you are, what you value, what are your boundaries, and what are you willing to let in your life and what you're not willing to let in. And from that place, just communicating that from a place of certainty and respect. And then you own that identity and you can bring that forth. And identity is something that I studied and embodied myself, having worked on that, especially all of last year. That was a big recalibration for me in terms of identity. And we change identities anytime we change jobs, or for example, in my case, going from being an employee to being an entrepreneur, which is what coaching is. Or for example, you know, when we get divorced or break up or enter a relationship or have a baby, you know, like all of a sudden you're just a woman, and then you're a mom, right? And it's a big identity shift. So really seeing yourself in that role and really claiming all that will allow you to take the responsibility that is involved with having that identity. And some of us, you know, a lot of us identify with these job titles, with the cars we drive, the brands we wear, the schools we went to, the neighborhoods we live in. You know, I'm a Londoner, I'm a, you know, Lisbonian, for lack of a better word, right? And then when you move or when something changes, it's like, we have to figure out who we are again. So our identity is ever evolving. It's ever changing. It never stops. And when we can proactively design it and create it and architect it to really serve us and where it is that we want to go, we get results quicker. And we really collapse time, because having to figure things out yourself, you're going to make a lot of mistakes along the way, and nothing wrong with that, because that creates experience, that creates learnings. But I believe our most valuable currency is time, because we can always make more money. We can always make more energy, but we can't make more time. That's my two cents on that.
No, love it. It's it's a big topic, and it's something I've found when I'm like the good and the bad. It's like when I found myself personally, or people in the past I've coached, like doing good things, like going to the gym and eating well, I've kind of got this identity of like, well, I'm just like quite like this guy who's like in shape, he's got good like energy or that kind of thing. And then I'm like, I'm a runner. I tell people that, and it's like I find myself running very like consistently, or like doing sports and things like that. Or like I'm a podcaster, so I podcast an awful lot. And it's like, you know, I might in the past give myself like, you know, when I used to struggle with money, it was like I'm bad with money, and that was an identity. And it was, until I sort of worked through that, it was like part of me. So I can totally relate to it.
Yeah, I think it's a two-tier system, is the identity and the relationship to things, you know, like money, like podcasting, but focusing on the identity piece, I believe it's really about, you know, when you are that, for example, I am healthy, it's effortless to eat healthy. It's effortless to go to the gym because it's a part of who you are. Like if you're a podcaster and you identify as a podcaster, you know, doing these podcasts consistently, that gives you staying power. And it's just something that you do, right? And versus someone that does not see themselves and does not identify with being healthy, going to the gym is really difficult. Eating healthy is even more difficult. And then we create these different parts of us, which create our identity, because we're not just one thing, that sometimes don't agree with each other. So one of the methods that I use is what is called a parts integration. So how that shows up is, for example, you know, it's one thing to break through, right? You go to like a Tony Robbins event, or you know, you work with someone, a coach or a therapist, or, you know, hypnotherapist, whatever method that might be, you lose five kilos. And then you're like, yes, I did it. But then you gain it back. And then you lose it again. And then you gain it back. Now you lost 10. You gain it again. You gain it back, right? So we yo-yo because that identity is not solid. So technically you lost 15 pounds, right? 15 kilos, excuse me. I'm not on the metric system just yet. 15 kilos. But at the same time, you know, you're right back where you started. So it's not just about the breakthrough, but about breaking through. And the breaking through piece is a combination of the identity, but also the relationship to things, the food, the working out. So that's a second part to that discussion. So I find that, yeah, when you identify with something like podcasting, it's effortless for you because you identify. Versus in the beginning, you were kind of stepping into that identity, figuring it out. Maybe it was a bit wobbly. And now you're like, I'm a podcaster. And you cram these out, you know, on a weekly basis. That staying power and consistency is there. And that all comes down to the identity, I believe.
I love
not
that.
Discipline, not motivation.
Yeah, identity.
Yeah. Because you can only motivate yourself so far. You can only push yourself so far. So when you have that identity piece, there is no burnout. Because you know exactly what you're capable of, how many episodes you want to do. You have a vision for what it is that you want to do. So.
And I find with the identity, sometimes it's been unconscious in the past to me. It's like the bad thing. It's like, maybe it's like I am something, and it's kind of like bringing it a bit more conscious as when I was able to work through it a little bit. So yeah, I think it's a really important area to kind of discuss. I know that's what you look at in a bit more depth. So yeah, Kasia, I just, before we kind of like wrap things up today, I wanted to ask you, if you were to give like one like top confidence tip to the listener today, what would it be?
Top confidence tip, I would say confidence comes from trusting yourself. And trust comes from doing the things that you say you will do. So start with little things that you commit to yourself. And the next thing you know, you're going to be walking around like a boss. Because we will do more for others than we will do for ourselves. And without that trust with yourself, it's hard to make these big moves, big changes. It's hard to go after the things that you want. And it's little things like, you know, drink more of that water, make that bed, little things, and then work your way out. Because I find that so many of us have these big achievements that we want to do, and it's such a big leap, we never get there. So it's really about step by step by step. So for me, the breakthrough, it's really about that next level, that next chapter, and then up and up and up we go.
I like that, building trust in yourself with those small little habits. Brilliant. Yeah. Thank you. So I totally agree. So Kasia, where can, there's lots more we could talk about, and I know you've got a ton of value you offer people. Where can the listener find you? And is there anything else you'd like to kind of share that you've got coming up or anything?
Yeah, definitely. So I spent all of last year pivoting my work from one-on-one to group work. So I'm in the process of launching small group workshops. So I delivered one already, the success planning workshop, and the one coming up on identity. And end of February, which is when I believe this will come out, we're having a self-love one for Valentine's Day, because I find that, you know, what I like to do is really talk about things that nobody else thinks about, because self-love for so many of us is like having a, you know, a glass of wine or a beer on the couch and watching Netflix. That could be self-love, but self-love is a little bit different. It's actually not very beautiful. It's doing the work. It's really loving yourself and taking care of yourself, not necessarily in that relaxing way. So I have a lot to say on that. And really what I do is I take these topics that I think about, right? Like identity, like the things they didn't teach us in school, and I develop methods around them. So I have a lot of group work coming up. I have three programs coming up: The Leader Within, The Power Within, and Success Within, which is all about the being, doing, and having, because so many of us, you know, we have these, the success, right? We have the job, we have, you know, the car, we have the things, but then we do things that don't necessarily, we don't necessarily love to have these things. And as a result, we're stressed, we're being stressed. And I believe on working from the inside out. So I believe about, if you want to be free, you start with being free, right? You want to be healthy. I'll use that example. It'll make more sense. You want to be healthy. I'm healthy. So then I do things that support my health, right? So I do I go to the gym, I eat healthy, I drink my water, and then I have the body, the vitality, the energy. Versus I want to have the body, I need to do all this stuff that makes me so miserable, I can't have my chocolate cake, no more wine, right? It's backwards. And then as a result, I'm hungry, I'm being hungry, I'm frustrated. I hate this stupid diet, right? So it's really starting from the within out. So these are three programs that I'm launching. They're all standalone, but can be taken in a series, and launching a membership. And you guys can find me at Breakthrough Methods or Kasia Szczesniak. Well, we're going to write the name here somewhere because it's a little bit tricky. And do reach out. I have a podcast coming up myself, inspired by Johnny here. So Breakthrough Sessions is what it's called. So that's also coming. So lots coming. I have so much to say and so much wisdom to share. It's been literally 10 years of learning and embodiment and recalibrating from my end. And now is the time. So would love to connect. And awesome. Thank you for having me here.
Awesome. You're very welcome. We'll be sure to link that all up. So big thank you to Kasia for coming on today. We appreciate it. So that concludes our episode for today. And remember, you are in control of your own self-esteem and confidence.